And now, ladies and gents, more Toolbox with Joe and Raven.
You couldn't be a superhero.
I'm not super enough. You're plenty tismed. No, I couldn't be a superhero because there's no phone boxes anymore to get changed in. That's why the crime rate is so up.
You could be Tank Man.
I'd be like Batman. Just drive there.
And the Doom Turtle.
The Doom Turtle. That would be like the supervillain tank.
Oh my god. I'd pay to see that.
Be right there.
Okay. My next to last tank was the Reno tank. And I meant to ask this, but I noticed that it's a Renault FT. What does the FT stand for?
Freaking tank. I love the Renault FT.
It looked really cool. So the pictures of it.
It's teeny.
Yeah, it's teeny. It's like about the size of you if you stuck two grown men together side by side and then you stuck some wheels on the sides of them.
Yeah.
Like, and it was about, the pictures made it look like, because the one picture I saw was like the tank and then there was a dude walking beside it and the tank was like maybe a foot taller than he was.
Yes.
Like, it was super small. It looked cool.
I've seen one in person.
You have?
Yeah, the Collins Foundation has one.
And was it same size?
It's small. It's like maybe 8 feet tall.
Yeah, it's like, it's not very big, but it's actually really cool and it's very well built.
It is the first World War I era tank we're doing, but it's for a good reason. They were used in World War II, and it's the first modern tank. Oh, okay. Let me quit babbling. Let me let you talk about it. I love the Renault FT.
I know. Renault also stood for Renault. FT tanks were manufactured in France, most of them by 1918. After World War I, the FT tanks were exported in large numbers. Copies and derivatives designs were manufactured in the United States. We manufactured it as an M1917 light tank, and in Italy, it was marketed as a Fiat 3000. And in the Soviets, it was marketed as a T-18 tank.
That's great how the Renault FT is like a universal tank that was used everywhere.
Mm-hmm. The French-made Renault FT light tank wasn't the first armored vehicle to see service in the First World War. And it wasn't even the first true tank. I think you talked a little bit about that with
Little Willie.
With Little Willie.
And the Mark I.
However, it was the first to employ features that were to become the standard tank design. Notably, the rotatable turret that was mounted directly onto the hull. So, like, the tippy top of the tank.
A little turret. 360 degrees of view.
Spins around. Yeah, they were the first ones to do that.
Yeah. Anyone playing Battlefield 1, you could play with this tank.
Notably, the rotatable... Oh, I already said that part. Okay, sorry. Blah, blah, blah. Perhaps even more importantly, the FT proved that tanks didn't need to be massive, hulking behemoths that were akin to miniature rolling fortress. They were like, instead of, you know,
yeah, this big, giant massive thing box with 20 people in it.
Yeah, they made it...
Just a little guy.
Yeah, a miniature rolling fortress, literally. Like, something small, but it's durable.
It's bulletproof.
Strong, yeah. They developed with little thought for maintenance. Many FTs broke down before they could reach enemy lines. But they still played a significant role in the Allied victory in 1918. The Renault-built tank weighed just under 7 tons. And unlike the heavy tanks that were... Ooh, what am I doing? No! Okay, hold up. What did I do?
Technical difficulties.
Okay. And unlike the heavy tanks that required, a crew, the Renault only needed two people, a commander and a gunner. A commander slash gunner and driver. I thought it's two different parts. I keep saying a lot. It was armored with a single Hotchkiss machine gun or a short-barreled...
A short-barreled... Oh, my goodness.
it was a cannon turret.
Yeah. Putox. Yeah, so either a machine gun...
Oh, it might be...
Purdue?
Putox.
Well, it's like a little cannon.
Putox. It's French. Trying to figure Putance. Don't judge me for that, people who speak French. It's been a long time. But the gun was 37 millimeters or 1.457 inches. It was a little cannon, which could, it offered a 360 degree traverse, so spin all the way around, shoot everything around.
So I wonder, do you have anything on a flamethrower variant?
I might.
So I know in that game that has it, you can equip a flamethrower.
I don't think so. I don't think I have that in here.
That might have just been thought of.
Or maybe that wasn't just game reference?
Maybe, I don't know.
The FT's tracks also featured an exaggerated idler wheel at the front to increase the track rise and improve the tank's climbing abilities.
Big wheel in the front.
Being only 16 feet and 6 inches long, it couldn't cross a trench more than 6 feet wide. But the frame's tail was also employed to aid it crossing some obstacles. So it couldn't get over everything, but they could figure out a way how to get it around most things.
Yeah, like behind the tracks, it had like this, like a wheelie bar, kind of.
Oh,
okay. Except it was like a flat piece of metal that like scooped up like a tail. It was really weird.
So sort of like Scorpion.
Yeah, except didn't go way up. It was just like...
It went under.
Yeah, really weird.
I mean...
It worked, though.
You gotta figure out a way to get it across somehow. The very first prototype of the FT was introduced in 1917, and officials within the French military were impressed enough that they ordered 3,500 of
Jeez.
These. Jeez. Yeah. Like,
they really liked it.
As soon as they saw that it worked, they were like, yep, we'll take about 4,000 of those. And that was larger than Renault, the manufacturer, could handle. And as a result, they asked other companies if they would come in and help them build these and get them out there. But because they brought in more people to build more tanks, more people started placing more orders. The Allies later increased the target goal for the number of tanks expected in 1919 to 12,260 FT tanks.
Jeez.
And in France alone, 7,820 of those tanks went there. 4,440 of the tanks were sent to United States. that's just a crazy amount. As the war ended in the fall of 1918, far and fewer were actually produced, with only around 3,000 built in total. Renault light tanks still played a significant role in the final months of the war and were even dubbed the Victory Tank.
Hey.
The FT had its very first battle on May 31st, 1918, near the Forest of Retz during the Third Battle of... Iceni? This is all taking place in France, by the way.
Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce that.
And around 30 of the tanks successfully stopped German advances. So, these were sort of happy little
tanks.
This is like Thomas the Choo Choo Train, a little train kept on trucking.
The little tank that could.
Yeah! The FT proved to just provide far greater mobility than the larger tanks during that time. So it's the Germans were coming out with the big bulky tanks that were, because it's so big and massive and heavy, we're going to be indestructible.
Yeah.
And the France was like, our tanks are going to run circles around your tanks.
Exactly.
And, that's what helped them win.
I do have a little fun tidbit on the FT.
Yeah.
So it was really, you know, two people, and the commander and gunner kind of sat like.
Look, I believe they sat at the top.
Yeah, sat at the top. It kind of looked like you were sitting on the driver's shoulders, but not really.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't have radios or anything back then. And when the tank was running and driving, it was really loud. So how the commander would tell the driver what to do is by kicking him in the back.
No.
Yep.
I would say that they'd have to come up with something else.
No, that
like
was
you'd
it.
Have to come up with like a shoulder tap.
Not
like,
you kick him in the left shoulder to go left, kick him in the right shoulder to go right, and then back of the head to stop.
Oh my God.
I seen that on a history thing.
Oh, I'd be mad.
Right?
Oh, I'd
imagine
be
being
mad.
Locked in a hot metal box getting kicked in the back of the head.
Oh my God. I'd snap. I'd kill the people in the tank with me. That's nuts.
Yeah. Oh, I get a tank. So we picked the same tank for the last tank.
Yeah, we both ended up picking the...
The Tiger. The Panzer Wagon Tiger something. You probably get the actual name on it.
Mine was called the Tiger 131. It was a version of the Tiger tank.
So I just picked the Tiger in general as a bad tank, and you picked it as a good tank.
Yeah, I did. So you got some points, and I got some points. So
yeah. Oh, we probably should have discussed how to do this.
Oh, why don't you do yours?
Okay,
and
yeah.
And I'll input.
So the Tiger heavy tank, made by the Mustache Man in World War II, arguably the most feared tank used in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
It was used between 1942 and 1945. The Tiger's main armament was a 88-millimeter gun with two 7.92-millimeter machine guns. The 88-millimeter was one of the most powerful guns fitted to a tank at that time,
mm-hmm.
so it could penetrate any other tank on the battlefield. And speaking of that, the armor on the Tiger, was also, oh God, I can't even read my handwriting, substantial,
uh-huh.
had substantial armor on it with a thickness between 25 and 120 millimeters or 4 3/4 inches. Oh, geez, I can't read that right. Or 1 inch to 4 3/4 inches thick. At its thickest point. Really thick armor.
Yeah.
And it was sloped, too. Sloped armor makes it more thicker.
Yeah.
It's witchcraft. And to top it off, it was powered by a 690-horsepower V12. So, big gun, thick armor, and it was fast.
But I'm not hearing any bad points.
I see I'm getting it. So it powered the 54-ton beast to 28 miles an hour, which is just as fast, if not faster, than any tank in World War II.
Yeah, I was about to say, so let's get up and go.
You might be asking, how can this tank be bad?
Yeah.
Because on paper...
Sounds good.
It's the best tank of the war.
Mm-hmm.
So the tank... God... Why can't I write?
Because you're lefty.
So, could be. So, although on paper and in person, this tank is a force to be reckoned with, the Tiger's final drive was weak, and the entire drivetrain was overstressed, like a lot of German tanks. So, due to this, and the limited production... It was more common to find a Tiger abandoned because it was broken down than of its intended use as a tank. And also because of that, usually what the German protocol was, is if this tank broke down and they had to abandon it, is they would blow their tank up to where the good guys couldn't get them.
Yeah.
So,
that's
nuts. They made just over 1,300.
Yeah.
But only 9 still exist, and 1 is in running order.
Oh, wow.
And that one tank that's left was actually in Fury. I still haven't seen it.
We gotta see it.
But the one that's in working condition is also at the Tank Museum in Britain.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all I had for the Tiger. What do you got? A bunch of the same stuff?
Yeah, just about. So, the Tiger tank, which was introduced in 1942, I have more specifics, was a German heavy tank. It mounted the 8.8-centimeter KWK 36 gun. Why are the guns titled so long?
Well, I think a lot of it
is shorter.
I think a lot of it is like artillery.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of it...
I know it's specific. I know there's like why there's specific reasons for it, but it's like, man, for the common folk out here, that's a lot. That's a mouthful.
For the common tank enthusiast.
That's a mouthful.
Make it really difficult.
But the Tiger tank was feared by the Allied troops. The Tiger 1, and of course, right as I'm reading, the Tiger 1 saw action in North Africa, Italy, Russia, and Northwest Europe. Yeah. It was developed in response to the Soviet KV-1 and the T-34 tanks.
T-34 is what's up.
Mm-hmm.
We should have did... Oh, if we get enough time, I'm going to look up the KV-2. Because the KV-1 is a good tank.
Yeah.
But the KV-2...
Even better?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The KV-2 is crazy.
Production of the Tiger 1 was phased out in favor of the Tiger 2... After August 1944, the tank was nicknamed Tiger by Ferdinand Porsche.
Yes, that Porsche.
Yes, that guy.
The Beetle guy.
I can't believe he was alive back then. I didn't think he was that old.
Oh, like most of these tanks? Like most German tanks? Like Porsche kind of had... I think the mouse...
That's why he's such a stickler.
I think the mouse from part one... Mm-hmm. That was a Porsche drivetrain.
Mm.
It was like electro. It was like diesel electric. Porsche used to hang out with the mustache man.
We're not saying nothing out there for you viewers.
He did. There's pictures. But he never wore the uniform. Porsche was like the only guy in that group that never wore the uniform. And he made race cars.
Mm-hmm.
But he made tanks.
And what's his face took the 12 pieces of silver from Jesus? Still didn't make him even better of a guy.
I don't know. Didn't he get acquitted? I don't know. This isn't a Porsche podcast.
On display at the Tank Museum since the 1960s, the Tiger 131 towers above its allied
combatants.
Contemporaries. Probably should have reread all of this to make sure I can speak properly. The contemporaries in size, stature, and reputation. It is a fighting machine that has gained almost mystical status, being the one tank that almost all the museum visitors recognize. You know, it's a widely known tank.
Yeah.
Today, only 6 Tiger tanks remain. More than
I got 9.
I got 6. The Tiger 131 is the only one of those that has been fully restored to running condition. So I think that's the one you talked about.
Oh, I think the 131, that's the number on the tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the variant. Yeah, that's like the number on it.
Yeah, I got more specified information.
Pacifics.
With the help of the Heritage Lottery Fund grant of, so this is £50,000 or $70,000. Is what they spent to restore this. Yeah, I was like, that's cheaper than the house.
Right?
You can have a house or a tank. I'm glad we found out this before that.
You can live in a tank, but you can't shoot a house.
As a result, the Tiger is arguably the museum's most famous exhibit, drawing visitors from across the world on all occasions. They even crank her up every now and again.
For tank days. They have, like...
running in the museum arena. they have an arena that they put these things
yeah,
in.
The British Tank Museum is so cool. Yeah, they one or 2 days a year, like, they take out all the running tanks into the field and they do like a parade lap.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they even got a that's the museum that has Little Willie. Yeah. And they also have some of the rhomboid tanks. Like, they have a Mark 1, Mark 3, and Mark 5. And I think a couple of those run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the British Tank Museum is cool. Follow them on YouTube. This is not an ad.
Okay, I believe I put these backwards. But if there is one fact above all that can illustrate the true role of the Tiger Tank during World War II is the numbers produced. A total of 1,354 Tiger Tanks were produced during the war. And these were distributed across the war compared this with the 55,000 odd Sherman tanks that were built in the U.S. and the 70 odd T-34s produced by the USSR. The Tiger tanks became statistically insignificant. Jesus, yes. Big word.
it was a superior tank. But they did not make enough of them.
They did not.
Thank goodness.
War might have turned out differently.
Yes.
Even now, the Tiger looks modern amongst its contemporaries. It's withstood the time
test. It's got sloped armor.
The designs are to be intimidated. One could imagine the confidence the Tiger could have to have inspired its crews. You know, imagine getting told that, like, hey...
This is the best tank ever.
And this is what we're giving y'all to work with. Like,
and they're like, yeah. And then
cream of the crop.
And then, like, it broke down.
But while the ornaments and the armor may well have been ahead of its time, it was more of the engineering standards that couldn't cope with what was going on. This persisted the crew and the engineers with major logistical and mechanical issues. It just, you know, it looked great, sounded good, but it sadly didn't work.
Yeah. So I believe the average, distance that they would last, I think it was 121 either kilometers or miles.
That's still not very far.
And the final drive is, like, the biggest part of the drivetrain. And their spares were hard to find. So even if you broke down and got towed back, took a while to get a replacement part. And then these tanks, like, were not designed to break.
Yeah.
So they weren't designed to be fixed.
Yeah.
So then when you finally got the replacement part, it's a pain in the butt to fix.
Yeah. You have to take the entire thing apart to fix one mechanical issue. Yes.
And that's also why there's only one that still exists. And I've seen the restoration video on it, they had to fix the final drive. So.
It never stopped being a problem.
Yeah, it's still to this day. It's the Achilles heel.
But it was still a really cool tank.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, almost a home run.
Yeah,
and almost. It is definitely arguably one of the best tanks of the war.
Yeah.
But... speaking of another tank, I had to look up the specs.
Chrysler didn't work on it, that's why.
You know what? That could be it.
It was the one tank Chrysler hadn't gotten their hands a hold of.
Imagine if Chrysler did make tanks for the bad guys, too. Oh, we didn't talk about the, speaking of that, the BT tank, the Russian BT. So that tank, this is just off the top of my head.
You're just a fountain of information.
So the BT tank was developed and made by a American guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried selling it to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. didn't want it. So he sold the design to Russia, but he shipped them as tractor chassis.
Uh-uh.
So they didn't have guns or anything, but it was like the hull and drivetrain. Yeah. And then he shipped them to Russia. And they were like the Russian tank, the BT. But fun fact about the BT, it can also drive with no tracks. It could drive and steer with no tracks. It was designed
to do that. I was about to say, that's probably perfect for Russia where it snows constantly.
And they were, like, really early to have sloped armor. Mm-hmm. And they were super fast. And I think still to this day, it holds the record for the longest tank jump. And it is on YouTube in black and white. I don't know how these people didn't die.
They're Russians. They're practically indestructible.
Picture a Dukes of Hazzard cutscene, but instead of the General Lee, it's a tank in the air. It's literally, it was like a bridge out.
They might be Russian, but they're pretty American.
It was a bridge out, and then they just launched this tank into the river. They didn't clear it. It landed in the river. I think that's how they didn't die. But it's crazy.
You're telling me you and your buddies wouldn't attempt something like that?
Oh, and you know there ain't no seatbelts in that thing. You know they just wham their heads.
So that's exactly like what happened at...
Oh, not the gambler. Not the gambler.
You almost killed me and the dog.
I didn't know there was a jump there.
And we had not a single person in that vehicle had a belt on.
Granted, we weren't on the road. We were in a mud pit.
On a mountain.
Maybe. And I didn't see the jump. Because I'm blind. See, I'm blind in one eye.
And I trusted this man with my life. And we took that jump. And we defied gravity.
It was rough.
Felt like we were in the air for minutes. Like, but it all happened within a couple of seconds. But I remember looking back and seeing the poor dog airborne.
Someone has that on VHS. Someone was out there filming on VHS and they sent me it.
Oh my god.
It almost nosedived so bad it bent the front bumper. Yeah. Like, I had this little extension and it bent that up.
Oh my god.
I don't know how we didn't catch the front and roll.
Like, and we weren't wearing seatbelts. Like,
I was wearing a seatbelt.
You had a seatbelt on? You were about to let me and the dog die.
I'm safe. Safety first. I knew who was driving. So that's why I was buckled.
And I have too much faith in you not to kill me.
hasn't happened yet, and I hope it stays that way.
I swear to God.
Well, I did look up some specs for the KV-2, because this tank gets me super excited.
I could tell.
Not like a Russian sympathizer, but they have some neat tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So the KV-2, I just Googled it real quick. So the armor on the KV-2's hull, which is the same as the KV-1,
mm-hmm.
It has 75mm front plates. And then I don't know what the rest of it says, but yeah, 75 millimeters, 90 millimeters on the gun shield, powered by a 600 horse V12. The armament of the KV-2 is two machine guns. Wait, where's the main armament? What? Come on, AI. It's not going to tell me the gun? I'm going to have to Google it. You want to Google? Yeah, the KV-2? Yeah, that's Stalin's refrigerator.
It looks like a refrigerator.
It has a massive gun.
Literally strapped to a box. Like, the wheels are bigger than the box.
Okay, so the gun, the main armament, 152mm. Massive.
Jesus.
The turret, that massive turret, manual crank. And there was no...
They're just...
Yeah. Yeah, to turn it. But...
That's crazy.
The gun was so powerful, sometimes if you shot the gun, it could jam the turret ring. Is like how powerful that gun was. But one KV-2 held off an entire platoon of German panzers. For, I think, 2 days. It ran out of ammunition.
Yeah.
They couldn't take it down. That's how strong and powerful it was.
That's cool. It looks rinky-dink, but it's, like, really cool.
Yeah, it's literally a KV-1 hull, and they're like, we're going to put this bigger gun on it.
Yeah.
And then the turret's just a cube.
Yeah, it's literally the funniest looking thing. It's like, we're going to take this small little box, and we're going to stick it on a massive rectangle with wheels, and then we're going to stick a really big gun to the front of this thing.
And that's another thing.
Like, I would think that, like, when the gun went off, it would blow the top of it just right off the wheels.
If you shot sideways, it could tip.
It really would?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dagger.
KV-2 is crazy. But yeah, that's all we had. For tanks. on this part two of Good Tanks and Bad Tanks.
To tank or not to tank.
Thank you for listening. This was the same pun as last episode. This was the Toolbox. Thank you for listening to 97.7 WVFF. Thanks again.
Keep it cranking.
I want a KV2.
We thank you for staying tuned to the Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.